So I'm sharing this morning. That is not the cataclysmic thing that Pastor was feeling in the spirit, I hope. You can let me know after if if I might get done and somebody will come up to me after. Dude, that was it. Pastor nailed it. That was cataclysmic. But in the best way possible. I don't think that what I'm going to share this morning is going to take incredibly very long, because truth doesn't have to take a long time. And I'm done. There it is. Pastor took off his mic, which makes me feel good. He didn't feel like he's going to have to interject. But then I have to translate. He said that's not what they told him when he was... And in all the training, they never told him truth doesn't take a long time. That's why he has the timer now. I know, right? Condensing the truth. So we had, how many people here are involved in journey groups? Raise your hand if you're a journey group person, and maybe give like an hour or something. There we go. You can make yourselves known. Journey group people, and I want to just... commend our journey group leaders one more time in front of everybody. Steve and Samara Keller, Todd and Elizabeth Plank, Richard and Andrea Chung, Vince and Donna Coy, Corey and Wes Jackson. They are stellar people, and they are like superheroes, I think, in our church life. They've agreed to open up their homes and to be a conduit where the word can get of the church can get deeper into the people, and you know, relationships can be formed, and it's been a really good thing. We had a journey group meeting with all the journey groups coming together on December 10th, and we met in the fellowship hall. Not everybody was able to come, but those that were, we had a time where people were just giving testimonies of how good it's been. We asked them not to give a testimony of how bad it's been, so that may have skewed the results a little. But that's okay. But by and large, the impression that I'm getting is that people who are attending a journey group, and this is not an advertisement by any means. This is not a shameless plug, because we have no shame anymore. This is just a plug. So people who have been going to journey groups, as far as I can tell, give me like an ow if this is true, but people who have been going to journey groups are getting something out of it. Thank God. All right. That's nice. There's relationships forming. There's people growing in the word and growing in their union with one another. And as I was preparing for this message, one of the things that I was sharing at the journey group meeting, as I was thanking everybody for being a part of the groups and all of that, we wanted to base the journey groups around Acts 2:42. So if you could turn there or flip there or scroll there, whatever it is that you need to do. And I'm going to read this. This version that I'm reading is the Amplified. I normally read the easy to read, but I'm feeling smart today. So we decided to base journey groups around Acts 2:42. And Acts 2:42 says, they were continually and faithfully devoting themselves to the instruction of the apostles and to fellowship, to eating meals together, and to prayers. They were continually and faithfully. How were they deepening in their walk with the Lord? How were they unifying as a body? How were they progressing and growing in their walk with Christ? Well, this is how they were doing it. They were continually and faithfully devoting themselves, giving of themselves, stepping out of maybe what their comfort zone might be, or what their schedule, you know, the wiggle room in the schedule, the gray areas where they think, man, I really should be like, you know, binge watching something, but I guess I'll go to this meeting. They were devoting themselves continually. Doesn't mean they were getting together necessarily every day, but continually, on a consistent basis, getting together with people from their body to talk about the things that are happening in their body, the word that God is giving to their church, the things that God is releasing, the things that he's doing, to encourage one another and to just get out in the open among each other how on the same page we are in what's happening within our church. And there's an excitement there when we share together the revelation that is coming and the revelation that we're getting from what is being from what's being spoken and what's being released. It's a beautiful thing. So they got together to devote themselves to the instruction of the apostles, the leaders of their body, and to fellowship, and to eating meals together, and to prayers. It says breaking bread, and sometimes I don't know how to turn that notification off, so that may just go every now and then. I'm that guy in church. All right. So they were devoting themselves to spending time together, sharing a meal, you know, talking over, you know, the breaking of bread and praying together. And it's a beautiful thing. And as I was sharing in the journey group meeting, honestly, this is like a me of little faith kind of moment. When we started journey groups, I thought, man, I hope it works. I hope it does, which is a great, awesome way to start something, right? I hope this works. You know, me of little faith, right? But as I was sharing in the journey group meeting and seeing how people are devoting themselves to the word and to one another and seeing how people are being blessed, it occurs to me, I shouldn't be surprised that applying the word to our lives works, right? Anybody else ever been surprised? You don't have to raise your hand. That's just a me thing. You apply the word to your life and you think, wow, that worked. That's crazy. How awesome is that? I shouldn't have been surprised that applying the word to our lives works. But it does. There's such a value in getting together around the word and diving into the word. And one of the things I wanted to talk about today is this thing of like teaching versus like fathering, mentoring, relationship, those kinds of things. So let's go over to John. Let's see. Should we go to John or should we go to 1 Corinthians? All right. The poll says John. Let's go to, this is totally interactive. Let's go to John 8, 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, "If you continue to accept and obey my teaching, you are really my followers. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." If you continue to accept my teaching. Now, when he says this, there's an if at the start. That means it's conditional. If we continue to accept his teaching, then we're his followers, and we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free, or make us free. That means that there's an option for me not to accept the teaching, which is part of the thing that in my head is hinging on this difference between just teaching and fathering, as it's explained, Paul explains in just a minute, and then Jesus is referencing here. He goes on in this passage to talk with these Jews who have believed in him about this concept of, well, who really is your father? The person who you're following, the person who you're devoting yourself to, the person who you're tied to relationally and that you listen to regardless of other things you hear. He's saying that's kind of your father. That's the person that you're really grafted under and modeling yourself after. It gets a little messy in this conversation because the Jews that he's talking to don't like the things that he has to say about who their father is. That's a separate thing. But what he says is, if you continue to accept and obey my teaching, you're my followers, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. It's not the truth that makes you free, right? According to what he's saying here. You can have all sorts of truth all over the place and still not be free. There are plenty of bound, confused, tormented, frustrated, caught up in all sorts of stuff, but they're good people caught up in stuff, and they're sitting in churches right now where there's tons of truth. So it's not just the presence of truth that makes you free. If it were that way, then we'd all be free of everything right now. He says, you'll know the truth and the truth will make you free. It's not the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that you know. It's the truth that you know. This gets me thinking about just some things that I've said in the past, like, oh, I just want to soak in that teaching. I just want to bathe in that teaching. You know, I want that teaching just to wash over me. And I think what I really need to be focusing on is not, can I have that thing still remain on the outside? Not can I take a bath in the word, because I can get clean, but then I'm going to get dirty again. I can sit in a bunch of living water and then I'll dry off and it'll be gone. But what I need to be doing is I need to be consuming that. I need to be drinking it. I need to be eating it. I need to be ingesting the word, ingesting the good things that God has for me so that they become a part of me, not so that they become the clothes that I wear that clean me off from the things that I did today, right? So it's not the truth that sets you free. It's the truth that you know. And if we think about, you know, the way that, you know, knowing in the biblical sense of the word, we're in a church, we can talk about this. To know something is to become intimate with it, to become one, right? To become one with it. The truth that you know, the truth that you make a part of yourself, the truth that you ingest and it becomes a part of your DNA, and then what comes out of you is infused with that truth. That's what sets you free. Anybody here ever heard a teaching and you were just blown away by it and it was amazing and now you it's like real far off because it's not a part of your life? We have so much teaching available to us. We have so much information. We have so much about, as being Christians, you can have multiplied amounts of teachings about every topic, every subtopic in various media formats. And you can have teaching all day long, more teaching about any one of these Christian topics that you might want to look into than you can consume in a lifetime. And we always seem to want more of it. I want that fresh revelation. I've said that before. I want the fresh revelation. But what I really need to be doing is get a hold of the revelation that I've got and know it before I move on. Because it's fun to learn. It's fun to get under this impression for me. And hopefully I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. This is really just for me. I have a microphone so that I can record it and listen to what I need to say to me later. But I've sat in all sorts of teachings and seen stuff online and read a bunch of books and all of that. And there's some things that stick with me because I worked them out. I got to a point where I knew it. I knew it. That I believe, and that is going to become a part of who I am in God. And I know it, and I walk it out, and I move forward with it. But, you know, we can sit under all sorts of teachings and never be changed if it's not the truth that we know, right? So having said that, let's move over to 1 Corinthians 4:15. 1 Corinthians 4:15. Jesus in John 8:31 and 32, he was talking, he's talking about, teaching. He moves on in verse 37 to talk about fathering and that role. But I want to go to 1 Corinthians 4:15, and I'm going to look at a couple of different versions here. The easy-to-read version says, "You may have 10,000 teachers in Christ, but you don't have many fathers." The NIV says, "Even if you had 10,000 guardians in Christ, you do not have many fathers." And I'm going to get into the Amplified in just a minute, because it sheds a little bit more light on kind of what I'm marinating in this morning. Though you have 10,000 teachers in Christ, you don't have many fathers. So I guess the question that it begs is, what's the difference? What's the difference? Because teaching is good. I'm not saying teaching is bad. It's one of the ministry gifts. I was a teacher professionally for 10 years. And then there was a lot of good that happened in my classroom. There's nothing wrong about teaching. But there's something different about teaching than about fathering. And when I'm saying fathering, we can sort of expand that to just mean relationship, fellowship. Because we have, we have spiritual fathers that speak into our lives, that walk things out with us. But that, for example, Pastor Hart is my spiritual father. He's also my natural father-in-law, and that's fun too. Really, it's fun. I didn't mean that to me. We'll talk later about that. It's good. I'm in a good family. But Pastor Hart is my spiritual father. And I can say that because not only is he a teacher to me, not only has he taught me many, many, many things, but he knows me. He's seen me in my good times and my bad times. He's walked through things with me. He's led me around pitfalls that, and sometimes out of pitfalls, right? He's helped point the way for me, like a father should, right? I also have some people that are wonderful teachers that I listen to. Some of them I know, some of them I don't know. I listen to people online and things like that. I get books from people online, but they're not my spiritual fathers because they don't know me. They don't know me. And I've heard this before from some people. Like, I love the teaching of such and such at that church. That guy is one of my spiritual fathers. No, he's not. And I hope this doesn't offend anyone. I really don't, because I hate it when I offend people. But if someone doesn't know you, they're not your father. They're a teacher, and they're speaking something that the Holy Spirit is using to make a deposit into you. But you need to find somebody relationally that you can take that and work it out with in the real world. Somebody online who doesn't know who you are is not your spiritual father. They're not your spiritual mother. They're a teacher who they have some truth to give to you, and you can accept it, you can receive it. But you need to find somebody who's in your real life that can walk it with you, that can help you, that can show you, that you can, like in the journey groups, that you can break bread with and pray with and encourage and hang out and share life with. Those are the people. That's the difference between, you know, the teacher and the fathers. The father is the one who knows you. The father is the one who is present in your life and knows your name. That's the spiritual father. I went ahead and jumped ahead of what I really wanted to share there. So this gets me to the Amplified version of 1 Corinthians 4:15. It says, "For even if you were to have 10,000 teachers to guide you in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers." And then, "Who led you to Christ and assumed responsibility for you." That's good stuff. That's good stuff. You have many teachers in Christ, but you don't have many fathers. And he explains what that would look like. Somebody who leads you to Christ and takes some responsibility for that role. I love teaching, and I love receiving from teachers, and it's a wonderful thing. But the difference in that relationship is that if I disagree with them, I don't have to listen to them anymore. I can turn off the computer. I can close the book. I can decide, you know what? I think maybe now you're wrong, and so I don't want to listen to you anymore. It's different when you're walking with people and you have a relationship with them. And I'd like to think that it's a much better deal, because we don't grow with only things that we agree with, right? I know that if I disagree with somebody who's teaching me, who's teaching I'm receiving, who doesn't know me, if they all of a sudden say something that challenges me, I can turn it off and I can be fine, and I don't need to hear that anymore, right? Whether I needed to or not, I have the choice. I can turn it off. I also have, case in point, my spiritual father, and he's challenged me a bunch with things in my life. Like, there have been times when I've done some things and he's called it out. He said, "Hey, you know, you're doing that. That's not the right way. You need to do this instead." And I'm not going to say that that's pleasant for me. I'm not going to say that that makes me feel good or makes me really happy at that moment. But looking back on all those times, yeah, it's what I needed. It's what I needed. And if I had decided then, pastor said something challenging to me, I think I might be done. I think I might just want to move on. I don't want to receive that anymore. Then I don't grow. We don't grow to our full potential in isolation. We don't grow when we can pick and choose the words that we want to hear, you know? Because I would always surround myself just with preachers who say, "Darren, you're amazing." I would just do that. I don't think there are any of those except for me. But I would surround myself with me, and I would be great all the time. But the point of this, we need the teaching of the word, obviously. I'm not trying to say that we don't need to receive teaching from people, because there are a lot of people God has gifted greatly to speak truth. And, you know, and that's That's an important thing that we need to be open to receiving. But equally important is being open to receiving the relationship and the mentoring and the growth that comes from walking with people. Pastor shared this before that you don't know who you are until you're in a group. Because in isolation, you're whoever you think you are. But then when you get into a group, you become, oh my gosh, I didn't know that was in me. Ooh, man. And we things just come out when we get into fellowship with people. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing. Because we also have grace to be able to see each other through the eyes of the Father. And to be able to see each other through the lens of the Holy Spirit and to say, oh, you know what? I see that. That's coming out of them. That's not really who they are. But I'm committed to them. So let's walk through this. And let's come to a greater expression of unity and a greater expression of Christ in you. Because what you're doing now, that's not necessarily who you were intended to be, right? When we choose, and it's really great for me to come to church every Sunday, every Friday. I'm here a lot when there's nobody else here too, and that's also kind of cool. But it's more fun for me when everybody else is here. I'm looking around the room, and you know, I'm pretty amazed on a regular basis that my life has turned out so far to be what it's turned out to be. And I get to do the things I get to do, and I get to know the people that I get to know. I'm pretty amazed. It's a testimony to me of God's grace and how he has a plan, and he knows what it is, even when we don't know what it is. And if we'll just stay committed to him, he'll lead us there. But I look around, and I think, okay, today, what did I get to do? I got to worship the Lord with some amazing friends, talented musicians, wonderful people, some of whom I've known for years, right? Coming together to worship God. I got to have a part in leading that. That's amazing. I mean, why do I get to do that? Don't answer that. You're like, I don't know. And then I get an opportunity to come and share what God's put in my heart today to all of you. And I think, how did I get here? How did I get to this place? And I can't think at all that I got to this place without the growth that has come from knowing the people that I'm seeing around the room. I mean, some of you saw me when I came here at 19. Don't laugh at 19. My beard was entirely dark then. It was awesome. When I came here at 19, there were a lot of you that were here. And you were fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters to me. And I stayed, and you stayed, and we've gotten to see each other grow up. And it's become a really, really beautiful thing, and it's something that I can't imagine ever being any different, you know? But I realized that whatever it is that I'm doing now for God comes because of those conversations that we've had, the encouragement that you gave me. Karen Thompson, I don't know if you remember this. The very first worship music tape, it was tapes then. The very first worship music tape I ever got, I was 19. And Karen said, here, I'm supposed to give this to you. And it was instrumental worship songs with someone speaking the Psalms over the top. And that was not on my grid. That was not something I was, you know, thinking, ooh, I really want that. I'm a 19-year-old kid. I really want instrumental stuff with people speaking Psalms. But she knew. She heard from the Holy Spirit. And she handed me that tape and she said, here, I just wanted to, the Lord told me you need this. And I just wanted to bless you. And I wore that tape out in my car. Oh my gosh. I popped that thing in, and there was such a peace and such an assurance. And listening to the beauty of the music and listening to this voice just continuing to speak these words of peace and words of life over me. I don't think I ever told you that. I probably should have done that earlier. But thank you, Karen. At least I think that was... No, I'm just kidding. But, you know, moments like that, walking with people, spending time with them, fellowship, getting to know them and letting them have some access into your life, and them letting you have access into theirs, it's a beautiful thing. And I got to think that that's at least some small snippet of what God intended when he meant body. When he said the body of Christ, I got to think that he meant that. That he meant people who are knit together. People who care about one another. People who aren't just wanting to get out the thing that they want to say so that someone can say, that's awesome, and you make them feel good. But no, people who want to say what they need to say because the Lord is speaking through them and wanting to release something that's going to be beneficial to them. People who are invested in one another. Jesus didn't die on the cross and ascend to heaven so that we could be fragmented. That's not the point. The point of all of this is relationship. That's the point for Jesus coming in the first place. Relationship. Relationship was broken. And God said, that can't be. Not on my watch. I don't know if God actually said not on my watch, but in my mind, he did. Not on my watch. Jesus. Jesus came to unite, came to reestablish relationship. And he didn't come and do all that he did and speak all that he spoke and challenge us in the way that he did so that we could be a fragmented and competitive body. He came to bring us into one unified expression of his will upon the earth. Pastor was sharing this morning about the younger generation. And I want to apologize. On my notes, this all sounds so much better. And in my head, it sounds so much better. I know I've been a little scattered this morning. But I love you too, Tammy. So Pastor was sharing this morning when we were all standing here about a power and a responsibility being on a younger generation. And I agree with that. I agree there is. It's a good thing, right? I agree with that. There is something that is on the younger generation of Christians to make a difference, to make a change, to establish kingdom. But guess what? If they are to do that, then there need to be fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters who are going to encourage them, who are going to... I cry every dang time I speak. It's the worst thing. There need to be fathers and mothers. There need to be brothers and sisters. There need to be people standing up alongside of them saying, I've got something that I can use for you to support you. I've seen things you haven't seen. I've experienced things that you haven't experienced, but you've got something that needs to be raised up and carried forward. Let me carry you. So anything that is on that generation is on our generation as well. Any responsibility that they have also belongs to us. And vice versa. Anything that we are to carry it together. We're not to just leave one generation out and say, I'm going to rest now. Thank God I plowed the fields and I'm made the way straight and now I'm going to binge watch Longmire. That's not what we're supposed to do. Anything that they have on their life is my responsibility. What was it that Paul said? For even if you were to have 10,000 teachers, even if I were to tell you what to do and how to get it done, you have few fathers, people who are going to lead you there and take responsibility for you. That's the difference. That's the difference between the teacher and the father. That's the difference between information. That's the difference between the truth and the truth that you know. Right? Because there's truth and it exists and it's everywhere and we can talk about it and we can listen to things, but the difference between, you know, a teaching and a relationship is that in one, you get the information, you hear the truth, and in the other one, someone walks you through it so that you know it, so that it becomes a part of you, and so that at some point in the future, you can help someone else to know it. You can lift up their hands, because guess what? You're not the last generation. You're just not. There are more coming after you, and they are going to need you to carry them. So it makes sense for us to carry these younger guys while we can, while we're still strong enough. Yeah, wow. I think I'm done. I think that's what I needed to share today.
You know, I just wanted to share just a moment, Darren, that I just, the Lord came on me just now and just made me realize not only was that a good word, but the spirit that was imparted was just incredible. More than what you said, I felt such a fresh awareness of what it is to be a family. And I'm humbled to have so many friends and sons and daughters. And thank you for being a son, faithful son. But the love that's here right now is just incredible. Karen, that was so beautiful about, it's like 27 years ago, you had Darren a tape. You probably don't remember it. He's younger. He remembers more things. But just thinking about the importance of family, it's just incredible. And some of you here maybe don't feel that you're really a part of the family, but it's never too late. You know, we're never too late. No matter how old you are, you can be a part of the family. You can be a part of what God's doing with other people. That really gives meaning to our life. You know, Gloria passing away a couple weeks ago makes you realize, you know, how fleeting life is. That none of us have a long-term contract here, you know. It's fairly short-term. But to be a part of a family, that's for eternity. And I just thank you. Bless you.
Bless everybody here. Invite somebody out to lunch or coffee or something. Start relationships. And let's grow together. Amen.